At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
From a competition to a pleasure run and all the stops in between, we cover it all here at Coon Hunting Media.
Hello, everybody. We are back with you again. It's Coon Hunt Media Podcast Group. We're going to sit around tonight and just kind of shoot the bull and talk some stories about coon hunting past and just hunting stories in general. So it's myself, Jason, got Johnny, Kyle, and Hudson. Stacy's not with us in person, but he's with us on the phone. He's got a sick child, so we put him in quarantine tonight. So we'll get started and let Johnny do a quick Bible verse, and we'll get into some story time.
The Bible verse I'm going to read is John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life."
We'll keep it short and simple tonight.
Yeah, short and simple tonight. Short and sweet.
That's a good verse. Everybody needs to keep that in mind. So we'll jump right into some story times. We've been trying to sit here and think about what we could talk about for an hour. We had quite a few stories, more than I realized we was going to come up with. So let's get right into it. One of the ones that we wanted to talk about was a hunting event from, how many years ago has this been, Johnny? 2005,
8? 8 or 9.
So it's a long time ago. Johnny was a lot younger. And I like to call this Johnny's Autumn Oaks temper tantrum.
Well, I don't know. I was hunting hoss at the time. We went up there. I drawed out and went to Portland, Indiana. And went from Portland, Indiana, we drawed out and went up to Red Key, Indiana. And went up there to went hunting. We had a 3-dog cast. Had a black and tan, a red bone, and I had hoss with me. And we all was loading up and putting collars on. And I dropped the hoss off the tailgate, and red bone dropped out and hit the ground, and black and tan hit the ground, and every hair on his back stood up and went to growling. And the old boy looked at me with red bone. He said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Mine's going to stay put." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, he'll stay put." Well, I no more than got the collar on old hoss and got him on the ground. He stowed his head straight back up over his back, and we started winning the coon. And I reckon grabbed him by his mouth because I knowed what he was going to do. Just by past experiences, I reached and grabbed him by his mouth so he couldn't say nothing. And we cut him, and he went about 50 yards and struck and treed all in one breath. I struck and treed him all in one breath. And we cut loose. We went to his tree, scored his coon. Other dogs was in there running. I pulled him off the tree, shot him in there again. He went about another 150 and fell treed again. Went into the second tree, had another coon. The black and tan was there. With him, and I knowed something wasn't right when I walked into the tree, because Hoss was a chop mouth tree dog, and I could hear he was sounding a little bit irritated. And I asked the judge, I said, "Something ain't right." And he said, "What is it?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "I'm just telling you something ain't right." Got into the tree, and the black and tan was trying to push him around the tree, and Hoss was just you could tell he was aggravated. He was just a long, long chopping, just oh, he was aggravated. And asked the judge, I said, "Do you want to scratch your dog?" And he said, "What do you mean, scratch my dog?" He said, "He ain't took a hold of me. Took a hold of the dog." I said, "That ain't what the rule says." I said, "The rule says interference with a dog treeing, showing aggression in presence of a judge." I said, "That, you got all three. You're the judge. He's showing aggression. He's trying to push my dog around the tree. He's interfering with him treeing." He didn't like that, so he decided he wasn't going to scratch his dog. So we went in there, and Redbone finally come treed and had a coon. And we went in, we moved to another spot, pulled him out of the truck and went in there and had the first strike. I didn't strike him. I just laid back. I'd done two coons, coon and a half up at least on the red dog, and I didn't strike him. I let the red bone have a strike. Went around and the horse located, and I didn't tree him on that locate. I let the red bone have the tree. Went on in there and scored that tree and had another coon. Then went in there that tree, and that's when it started breaking down. Oh, boy.
I like that it started breaking down.
It was it went from good to bad and quick. And the old boy just looked at me, and he said, he's minus. And I said, what for? And he said, trailing back into a tree. I asked him, I said, have you lost your mind? He said, no, he's trailing back into a tree. I said, I got him in my hand. I literally had his collar in my hand, hooking the lead to him when he minus me for trailing back into a tree.
And he just reared up and let out a big locate on you.
He just, all he did was locate. I mean, like he always does. But just so happened I had my hand on him, and he minus me. And I said, have you lost your mind? He said, no. I said, well, I had a buddy of mine with us at the time. And I told him, I said, you take him and put him in the box. So I withdrew, let the temper get the best of me. I withdrew. Knowing what I had known now, I'd love to stay in that cast. But like I said, I was a little bit more hard-headed then than I am now. Ages calmed me down a little bit. So I had him go put him in the box, and we scored. One more, we made another den tree there, and we moved and left to another place. And when we went there, we pulled up in this field. There was maybe a 10 or 12-acre patch of woods. And there was 13 coons sitting on the outside that we could see with our lights. Well, they kept them dogs in there. 45 minutes left to go and hunt. They never got a bark out of that 13-acre patch of woods. In 45 minutes, they didn't get a bark. So me being, like I said, the hothead that I used to be, I just reached in there and flipped horse out of the box.
Now, the hunt was over.
Yeah, the hunt was over. It was over with. Like I said, 45 minutes, the hunt was over with. They never even got a bark. I flipped him out of the box. He went straight through the corn, come on with a big dining ball locate, and I stood up on top of the dog box. I shined the dog. I shined right up the tree, and he had two sitting up the tree, and I said, that's what a coon dog does. Needless to say, them boys probably didn't like me after that, but that's what happened.
So I've heard this story before, and kind of I didn't notice it till now when Johnny withdrew, when Hoss was trying, so-called trying back in the tree. I kind of figured out why he withdrew. Is either Johnny going to withdraw, or he's probably going to get scratched for a handler misconduct move because somebody's going to be on the ground? Well, knowing Johnny 20 years ago.
So yeah. Let me put this in perspective. You got to remember the Johnny we had back then. So right before this, in that time frame, you know, we was all young and just out of high school, and Johnny had an old Ford Ranger. So this is the guy that has just done this. So I'm positive these boys didn't say nothing to him. He had an old Ford Ranger out there at his house, and he had junked it out. And he was needing some money for something, and he calls a couple of us boys, and he says, hey, I sold these wheels off my truck. Come out here and help me get these wheels. And so we show up out there. Well, the truck's sitting there, and the wheels are underneath the truck, and that's what he's got the truck propped up with. And we're like, you got a jack? He goes, no, I'm going to pick it up. You boys are going to get them out. So Johnny walks around to the back of the truck and grabs it by the bumper and just picks it up and holds it while us boys on each side crawl underneath the truck that he's holding up and pull the wheels out so he can sell those things. So, yeah, I'm sure those boys weren't going to mess with him too much up there when he was having, I say, his temper tantrum.
Yeah, I did have a short fuse at the time. I got a lot longer fuse now.
But once it gets lit, it's lit.
Watch out.
Hostile. Not much.
Stacy tried his best to light it all the time.
Yeah. Stacy's now mine probably shorter with Stacy than it is anybody now.
I don't know.
One of these days we'll see both of them go at it. It'll be worth it. So the problem is they're all old now.
Broke down old men now.
They're broke down now. We're old.
20 years ago would've been a different story though. Well, probably longer than that, 25.
I don't know. I gave run for money, Johnny, 5 years ago.
Yeah, I said I broke down now.
What?
I'm the same age you are. We don't know. Almost. I ain't that old yet.
Pretty close.
So what's some other things that we've had happen to us? I've got a bunch of notes that we can try to remember all of our stories. What's some other things that's happened? Anybody got anything you want to hit?
Come on, Stacy, tell a story.
Okay, I'll tell you one. So me and Dad, we had a little granite female injection ball. And me and Dad started going hunting, a buddy of mine. I worked with him. He'd come into our factory and filled up vending machines. His name was, Mike Garrison, his name was. He wanted to go hunting one night. We'll go down and come with you. So me and Dad went down there, and we dropped a little female out. She went in there and made a den tree. And he's like, hey, I have some more spots to go to. He said, I'll call some of my friends. We'll go with them. Boys hunt down local. He's his friend. And this guy didn't coon hunt. So we get down there, and them boys come up. There's like 17 of us showed up down there, his house, that night. And we went and cut the dogs out. Turned around, everybody was grabbing guns out of the trucks, walking to the dogs, to the wood behind dogs. Well, Mike turned around, he said, boy, I got a 308 in my hands. He said, I ain't supposed to have that with me. Well, dogs got in our deep. We drove around, and you think 17 people, how many trucks you got following each other in the woods there? Trees up behind a man's house. We got to the house. The old man was screaming on the porch. Tell us to get out of there. That was a wild ride for us. With everybody having guns.
Have we got any good snake stories? Anything has ever happened with any snakes are going on?
You're known as a snake handler, ain't you, Johnny?
No, just part-time. Part-time.
I see you sitting there playing a little flute. And that little cobra comes up out of the basket.
Yeah,
I remember one time. It was a scary. It was a scary one. It was about five of us. We was hunting down Center Hill Lake, and it was early coon season, but it was still warm, so snakes were still out. And I remember, and anybody that's ever hunted down there knows it's straight up, straight down. And I don't know if I can tell the whole story because. It was a rattlesnake, but I'll just say it was a big one. I'll leave it at that. We know how big it was at the end. But we were walking around the hillside. The dogs retreated, and we was all walking down this deer trail. And Dad was in front of me, and I don't remember who else was with us. I can think of about three of us. And as he was stepping through the shadow off of my light, I saw something about a foot off the ground, just a shadow moving back. And I yelled, snake. And Dad jumped about 30 feet. I thought he was going to go to the bottom of the hill. But you got to picture that. We're walking on that hillside, and it was so steep. That snake was laying there coiled up, and it was a rattlesnake. And it was about a foot and a half tall in the pile because it was coiled up there. And it had literally moved its head back as Dad stepped over top of it. And it had a knot in it about the size. It looked like a bowling ball of that. And I'll leave it from there. That was the end of the snake story. But that was everybody's – everybody's night was pretty much ruined after that one.
Was it just eight or something?
Huh, it had just ate. Yeah, it had just ate a ground squirrel. I'm assuming that's what was in it.
A little too much information gets leaked here.
That's a lot of years ago, but it was putting him in harm's way. He almost got bit.
Self-defense.
And then Johnny reminded me of the other one. What that one was, I forgot all about that, but I wouldn't do that nowadays. What we did that night.
No.
Rip got me struck at one night. Remember that?
That copperhead bit you in the back of the leg.
Yeah, Rip went there. This is when we first got him, probably. Mm-hmm. It's still summertime, and what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And he got treed, and I stepped back, and I normally hunt by myself, and I always send Johnny some videos of the dogs, and I was taking a video of Rip, and I stepped back to take a video, and I felt something hit me in the back of the leg. Turned around, and it's 37 and a half inch copperhead, a big one. So
yeah, he sent me
about the size
of
your leg.
Shout out to the Dan. Shout out to the Dan's cat for taking care of my back.
I think it was it yours that you did. Dan's with the lacrosse boots.
Yep, no Dan's boots.
Dan's.
Yeah, Dan's boots. That's a long time ago. I give them to you.
And then Johnny reminded me of the other rattlesnake experience that time, which that snake lived a long, healthy life. But that was getting ready for blue tick days, and it was cold. It was one of them cold snaps in the spring. Snakes were already out, but it was cold, and we were down on Center Hill Lake again. So if anybody ever wants to hunt Center Hill Lake, there's lots of rattlesnakes down there. And what was it, that one, Johnny? It was
– Well, he went in and got trading. We was walking to him, and – going out a little old ridge. I'm fixing to drop over, and Jason about fell. And I said, what in the world did you fall on? He said, I don't know, a rock, I guess. And it was a rattlesnake, and it was coiled up. And we got down there and looking, and by looking at it, it was still froze or couldn't move one, either way. But it was coiled up, and it looked like a top where it's sitting on its head, and the back, the bottom end of it was bigger than its head. It looked just like a top sitting there on its head when Jason walked by it, and we found.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm saying it.
And dummy me reaches over and just kicks it with my boot and it flips over like a plate.
Was it froze? Like what was it?
It was stiff. It had been out. It was early like this. You know, snakes had just started coming out. And I guess it got cold that night, but it was just sitting there and all coiled up like a plate laying out in the woods, but it was a rattlesnake.
It was like 65, 70 degrees a day and got down to 35 probably that night, and he just got caught out. It was probably the first week in May, like I said, we were trying to get ready to go to Blue Tick Days. I think it was in Palestine, Illinois that year, maybe.
Oh, what about that? What about that one time years and years ago when you had Thunder, when he got in there and got treed that night, and he wouldn't tree and he was tree dog. He was one of those that when he treed hard, and Johnny was like he was not treed right, and he walked into him, and just so happened when you reached up to the lead to get him, you figured out why he was not treed right.
Yeah, he was. What it was, we was walking in there, and he was hammered, and I was going in there to get him, and I turned my light on, he quit treeing. I thought, what in the world? I kept going. I turned my light back on, go to him, he quit treeing. I turned my light off, he'd start back treeing. I turned my light back on, start to him, he'd quit. I turned it off, I told my buddy who was with me, I said, Matt, I said, something wrong with that dog. I said, that dog, that ain't right. So we walked off, went in there, and got in there, and old Thunder was sitting on his butt with his right paw stuck up in there. And there was a copperhead had bit him. Right below the and knee joint.
And it was still right there at the tree.
Yeah, he was.
Johnny about reached and grabbed
it. Yeah, I about put the lead on it.
So,
and it was a big one, too. It was probably 4 foot long.
But you had to pick the dog up and carry him. And that was that down the lake?
I was down on
the lake. So, don't ever hunt down there. It's Snake Central. And had to pack him all the way back out of the woods because he had gotten a snake bit. He stayed at the tree the whole time, but he was waiting on Daddy to get there.
Yeah, that's why we only hunt the lake in the wintertime.
People don't realize how many snakes we have right here. Like your local house, you know, they let go 150 max power rattlesnakes and 250 max power copperheads about 12, 15 years ago. You know, them snakes are everywhere. We still have them on the road everywhere, around the yards. We have bad snakes right here. One of the spots we hunt down the lake, 2 years ago, they let 250 max power rattlesnakes go. It's hard hunting
around
with snakes anymore.
Well, you think
they're going extinct?
Yeah, well, you think about it, and I'll open up a can of worms right here.
Preach.
Everybody's hollering the killing turkeys and coons is killing turkeys and turkeys are going extinct. Well, I mean, you just turn 150, 250, 650 pairs of snakes loose. You don't think they eat no turkey eggs?
Absolutely.
I guarantee they do.
There was one night, me, Dad, and Johnny was hunting at a place, walking around a pond, and a copperhead went between Dad's legs.
Yeah, that one was a scary moment, too. I kind of chased that one around the pond, trying to get rid of it. He got away. It lived another day. But I'm kind of an attractor to snakes when you get out in the woods.
That's true.
What we got next? Get off these snakes. I'll be looking on the floor for
We've had enough snake stories for the night. But, we could think of probably 20 more. So I got another one. We'll talk technology. So what's everybody got to have? We got to have our Garmin, and we got to have our shocking collars and tracking collars and all that stuff. We had that kind of technology before it was cool. So when we were kids, and Stacy will remember this, there was no such thing as a shocking collars. And Dad came up with this idea then of how to keep a dog from barking in the box. We had everybody, you know, dogs have always barked in the box, but, you know, now we can fix that. You couldn't do that back then other than just pulling over and whipping a dog or getting onto it. So he got this idea. He went out and he, you know, back at you had your carburetors and you and everything on your trucks and you could rev him things up. He figured out that he could hot wire a live wire from his spark plugs into the cab of the truck. And so we had, this was like an old 70 something model Ford truck. So we're going back to, I was little. I remember when I was small, cause you had to watch where you put your feet in the truck because there was two hot wires in that truck in the front of the gear shifter in the floor. And he had these two wires. And then he had this big long wire that he ran underneath the seat out into the bed of the truck. And it went out into the bed. And then it had a spring off of a door around it, and that exposed wire on that spring. We'd put the dog that was barking in the box, you'd slide that spring wire over there, and he had two hooks on that wire, and he had one of them wired hot, and the other one would lay loose. And if that dog started barking, he would grab that other wire and throw it on that hot wire and rev the truck up. It was like a Tritronic or a Garmin on 18 today. I mean, it sounded like the truck was coming apart, but you could break a dog from barking in the bed of a truck with that idea. But that was actually a pretty good idea.
See smoke come out of the box.
But yeah, he had that figured out, you know, 20 years in front of the invention of the good ones.
Pretty nifty.
It worked good. I think Jason got a hold of it one time.
That's what I was fixing to say. I think Jason got him a dose of it one time too.
Yeah, I'm sure we got into that several times when we was little, because it was there all the time. Because my daddy hunted six, seven nights a week, so it stayed hooked up all the time. There was always one in the truck.
I say he didn't pick up no hitchhikers.
Well, he got that invention because my grandpa would test his spark plugs and his coil wires out by Lance Fanger end up on a car. See if it was bad or not. And that's how he'd test them. And Dad said, well, Pa could hold it, so can the dog handle it. So that's where he got the invention from.
Yeah, that's how Pa would test them.
And his fingers on them.
He'd sit there and hold them. He'd tell you which ones was good, which ones were bad, just by you'd be standing there and Pa would hold it. Oh, that one's good. That's how he would do them.
That's if you got a 9-volt battery.
I can hold them too.
Stacy's tough. Stacy's tough.
I don't want no part of
it. No, me neither. I don't want them too.
I can grab electric fence, hold them. I can hold them.
No. You know, everybody takes a 9-volt battery, stick your tongue to them. I just go buy a new one. 6-pack at a time.
I've done that before one time. My great uncle said, test this battery for me. And I stuck to my tongue. And I said, what did it shock me for?
What other stories
about,
are we?
Yeah, talking about Johnny getting electrified. Talk about Autumn Oaks last year. Was it Autumn Oaks? Yeah, but the cops. Change a whole different subject right here. It was all out to eat after we went out to the amusement park.
This was all your fault. Every bit of that was your fault.
Yeah, we're blaming it on Kyle.
Everything's my fault.
That's right. It's Kyle's fault. No, we was... We'd been to Autumn Oaks and been hunting, and we decided the wife and the kids was going to come up, and we was going to go over to Kings Island and spend the day over there with the wife and the kids and have a good time. And we'd been over all day long, and we had a Airbnb rented.
Hour away from Kings Island.
Yeah, an hour away from Kings Island.
In a subdivision.
Johnny booked it.
Right. Well, there's more. It was on Miami University campus. There was frat parties going on everywhere around the house.
Yeah. And, hey, nobody told us that there's a little old creek behind the house that had coons running up and down it.
And this is in Indiana. So, you know, when there's a creek, there's...
Ohio. Yeah, Miami, Ohio.
We was right across the line.
Oh, we right across the line. That's right. Yeah. Same difference. Yeah.
It's all the same difference.
In the subdivision and... I got a call from the people at the Airbnb and said they had a report against...
We was in a restaurant.
Yeah, we was in a restaurant.
Pretty fancy restaurant.
It was nice, and I got the call in my face. I know it. They know something was wrong. I said, what's wrong? My face must have been red.
We were just sitting around having just normal conversations. Next thing you know, Johnny's just blood red, and he pushes the table out from under him and pushes his chair out, and he just boiling. We know something's up.
Yeah, I was hot. But they said that they got a complaint. That doesn't call the law on me. That's my dog, which I can understand. When he opens his jaw, it's loud. I guarantee he
rattled the doors.
He rattled the windows. And but I guess a coon had come down that creek, and he was letting them know about it, everybody in the neighborhood. But anyway, when I went back, I called the law, and they come back over and said, oh, everything looks fine. You water and you feed and got tied up. And
was the cops there when you got there?
No, but he came shortly thereafter when I got back.
I think he was sitting down at the edge of the subdivision waiting on Johnny to return.
Well, they told me that, and they told me I had an hour and a half, and I'm like, man, I'm an hour away. I said, I'll be there. Don't worry, I'll get there within that hour.
And the whole time Johnny's driving there, we're still sitting in the restaurant eating, trying to figure out money situations on bailing Johnny out of jail, because we know Johnny's about to whoop somebody, and it's liable to be the cop, and everyone there, we're like, Johnny's going to jail.
But we did stay and finish our dinner. It was good.
Oh, yeah, we stayed.
Was yours good? Yeah, you ate late.
No, I didn't eat. I don't think I ate none.
Johnny's like, I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat.
Yeah, I was kind of perturbed at that time. Food would have been no good for me at that time.
We won't rent a house next time. Did we mention on Miami University in the middle of the frat houses where there's a party on every corner?
Pretty close. There's boy walking. You could hear him partying.
I think that it was actually a professor's house. To be honest with you.
So we, if they're listening or ever listening, there was no dogs ever was in that house. We kept them outside.
No, they was outside.
Everybody's getting straight A's at the professor's house.
They will get struck on that creek behind the house. I'll guarantee that.
Stacy, we're gonna take a short break. It's already been 25 minutes. Time's going to get away fast.
Dakota Lock Company, owned by Hoop and Tater Franklin, located in Tellico Plains, Tennessee, with the newest addition to their lineup, the Dakota Express. This lock features the industry-leading True Dual Battery Pack cap light. Switching from battery 1 to battery 2 is a simple flip of a switch. Contact Dakota Lights for their complete light selection. All of their lights are known for dependability and extreme battery life. Their direct business number is 423-261-2551. Dakota Lights, great lights, and even greater customer service.
Dillon's Electric Company, owned by Ricky Dillon, located in Crossville, Tennessee. Dillon's Electric offers a wide range of electrical service, from small jobs to large expansions, from new construction to electrical repairs. Give Ricky a call at 931-287-4761. Dillon's Electric, a quality you can always trust.
We decided we'll shift gears and we'll try to see if we got any scary stories. Stacy, have you got any scary stories that's happened to you in the woods?
Yeah, I've got one here. That was real scary, but it's been 10 years ago or so. Me and Dad was out northern end of our area here hunting one night, and hunting a Lexus female and a plot dog he had. I think it was a glue dog that Jason and Johnny had bought out of a bear pack. And, cut the dogs loose at night, and me and Dad falling down the hill, and they just kept running. So, got a hold of Jason, and something wrong with the dog. He won't stop. A tree and go, and Dad said, run a deer. Jason's like, the dog will not run a deer. So, we kept following him. Well, Alexis come back. She's a little blue-tick female I had bought out of St. Louis. She had a cut on her back end, whole back end ripped up. Was telling Jackson about that, and they was a hour and a half away, and they're in the county hunting.
We were like three counties away. I was at the lake
at the lake. And he said, "Don't run a bear." We didn't have no bear around here much then. Never heard of any of them. Well, we finally agreed. Jason, was it Johnny come with you, Jason?
It was at that point in time before the night was over. Everybody was out there because all of our buddies. We turned it into an adventure, but. It was just Matt and myself at that time.
Matt. Well, we was actually hunting Matt's
uncle's.
His dad.
Yeah, his uncle's place. He was at his uncle's place.
Uncle Kevin. And we were shooting 22 shorts because his house was still there. Well, that's all we had on us. Well, me and Dallas walked up. We told we were going to meet him at. We walked up to the road, turned our eyes on sitting there. And I said, I hear something behind me. We looked, nothing back there. And it was just one of them things, you kept hearing something there. We was on the side of a gravel road. And about that time, Dad turned around. He said, he's like, oh, Lord, it's a bear. And this thing was standing 10 feet of us looking at us. And all we had was 22 short CBs. You know what to do? We screamed. I screamed like a girl, I'm sure. That gun ran and took off running.
I have to see Stacy's face when that happened.
Well, about that time, Macker went flying. I get called, and Stacy's like, where are you at? I'm like, we're turning, we're almost there. He says, you got to hurry and get out here. There's a bear standing here looking at us.
Back then, we had them, our cell phones looked like a little handheld CB unit then. Had a pulled up antenna on it. You know, the cool cell phone back then. I'll never forget that night. 15 hours later, we caught the dog.
Well, I was going to say, that night turned into an adventure. Once we realized it was a bear and Stacy had confirmed it by messing on his pants and screaming and crying like a little girl, we called all of our buddies.
There's the bear mess in the woods. Stacy says, turn around right here and look.
We called all of our buddies, and we all went out there, and I will never forget that. That was the scariest sound I've ever had. So these dogs was running this thing in about a 5 mile circle. I mean, they were covered where this is on the back side of where these houses are. There's nothing for miles, and we decided we would go down on the boatman side of the mountain. It's out there where all this government land is now, and we went out there. Johnny might have been with us by then, because before the night was over, I mean, there's 10 of us out there. It wouldn't have been good for the bear, and we didn't know what we was doing. We was a bunch of teenage boys, and the dogs got treed again, and I think it was Johnny with me. We walked up this one side from the bottom. Mm-hmm. We got about 100 yards of the dogs treeing every breath, and all of a sudden, the treeing stopped, and it sounded like the most bone-cringing roaring you've ever heard, and the race was on. And we had enough cell phone service. I called Dad and them, and I said, I don't care what them dogs are after. They can ever one die. I am not going up there. We turned around, went back to the truck. And that was when we actually went back to the house and got some bigger guns. Yeah. We did go to the woods that night with shotguns, 30-06s.
Y'all going to the woods. This is the moment y'all been waiting for y'all's whole lives.
It was daylight the next morning when we went
it
there.
It was.
I think Jason's words.
We had guns. They were good to go.
I think Jason's exact words, they wasn't room enough on this mountain for all of us.
And I left. I wasn't staying.
What happened at the end? I mean,
they finally quit. I think we kept up with it. Was it 14 hours?
Yeah,
14 hours.
It was like 14 hours. But what it ended up happening, the bear that they literally saw was a cub. It was a half-grown cub. And the dogs were chasing the sow. And they treed that bear, I don't know, 7-8 times that night. And that web, one dog had to go get stitched up. And I always said bear hunting would have been fun. When Caleb was talking about that last week, that would be fun if you was planning on bear hunting. But if you're out there with a 22 rifle that shoots CB shorts only, probably not what I was wanting to go do it with.
It'd be like shooting Johnny with a 22.
Yeah, bad. Yeah. Mad.
So, and to hear that thing fight to the night, it's awful. It's something we never heard before. We didn't have bear here. No, with us. It was something new to us. It was a bad feeling that night.
But what had happened, Johnny and I had bought a dog, and that was the one he's talking about. He came out of a bear pack over in West Virginia.
The glue dog.
And that's how we bought him. The guy was like, I don't like this dog. He said, he's a great bear dog. He said, but every time he hits a coon, he pulls away, and I have to go get him out from under a coon. We're like, well, we don't have no bear. We want him. And we found out we did have
bear. Mistake.
We found out we had some bear around here after that.
Just in one little section. And off in the middle of nowhere, like they said, there was
nothing. Now we got bears.
Oh, we got them everywhere.
Yeah, we
now.
Got bears now. Armadillos, whatever you want, we got them.
Snakes,
yeah. Fishers, otters, beavers.
Yeah, there's another thing. One of them things they turn loose.
Yeah, fishers
take care of turkey eggs.
Johnny's going to touch all the bases as we're going through these.
Turkey Hunter's top 10 morning. Johnny Cooper's top of page.
Well, hey, truth's the truth.
The funny thing is, we all do turkey hunt, though, too. I mean, we enjoy turkey hunting.
I enjoy it. I like it. But
yeah, we turkey hunt, we coon hunt, deer hunt, dry land fish hunt.
Stacy, was you with us the night we was, now this is back when we was teenagers, when we were down at Calf Killer on the prop. We had a farm down there that we leased it for years and years. That's where we grew up hunting. And well, we'll get into another really good story that took place on that property later on. But we were down there coon hunting one night, and the road went miles back in there. We'd be a mile back in there parked, and then we hunted. And we was coming out that one night, and it had come a big storm and blew a bunch of trees down. So the road was about like going through the Vietnam jungle trying to get out of that place. And we got the dogs, and we was coming out. So we had all of our dogs on leads, and a pack of coyotes got after us. And they never would come up close enough to get around us. But have you ever watched one of those movies where somebody's lost out in the woods and all you can see is the demonic eyes out here looking at you in the darkness?
Yes, yes.
All we would do, we'd flip our lights around, and they'd be like 30, 40 yards away, and it was so thick you couldn't see them. They followed us for like a mile out of there. Every one of us had our we probably just had like two guns or whatever time, like two 22s, and all of us was walking around, one in the front, one in the back, and there was about four or five of us boys, and we was pretty much pushed all the way out with those coyotes. But I'll say that was probably one of my scariest hunts, because they would not leave. Would not leave.
No, they was on you.
Well, then Dad had that one time, I forgot about that one. He had a plot dog named Ranger, and he went on after we sold him later on. He done a lot of winning. He was a dual grand dog, but he was probably the best coon dog I've ever walked in the woods with, period, hands down. But you couldn't hunt him much with other dogs because of this one instance. But Dad had him treed one night, and a pack of coyotes came in on the dog. And when he got to him, he knew what had happened. He ran in on him, and the dog was up. He had been treed. He was up on a pile of rocks or something, and was fighting those coyotes. Dad went right in on them and had to start shooting and swinging sticks to run all the coyotes off. But they had him pinned in on a big rock out in the middle of nowhere. And that's why I fuss at you boys about hunting by yourself, because stuff like that is not what you want to run into by yourself while you're out hunting one night.
No. You know, I was turkey hunting a few years ago and calling turkey in. And I was sitting there, and I had a gobbler right above me coming to me. And I heard something coming. I looked over, and there come one jumping at me, and I shot that thing on the jump.
That was a bobcat, wasn't it?
No, it's a coyote.
It was a coyote. It attacked you. Yeah, it ran in on top of you.
It ran on top of me. I shot it jumping. Knocked it down twice. There he came with turkey, though.
Well, I guess not. Somebody shoots around me, I'm leaving him going the other way.
Most of the stories ends like I didn't kill the turkey.
didn't get what I was after.
Dad was deer hunting one time. I can't get much closer to the mic than that. I feel like I'm eating it for an ice cream. But Dad was deer hunting over in Pickett one time. And this has not been in the past 10, 12 years ago. And he killed a pretty good deer. And he said he was actually gutting the deer out.
This is a big buyer area.
No, yeah, no, this is...
He keeps his gun right on top of him,
yeah,
under a bluff
line. So he said he was, you know, he laid his gun right beside of him, but he's over on his hands and knees gutting this deer, and he said just something didn't feel right. And he said he just looked over his shoulder, and here comes a bobcat in the air in full attack. It was jumping right. I don't know if it was jumping at him or the deer, but he grabbed the gun and just went up like that right there and shot it off the hip, and he hit it. But it was literally jumping on top of his back while he was gutting that deer.
That's like something you'd see in a movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's nobody will ever want to come over and go hunt with us in some of these places.
He said it was so poor, it starved to death while doing it.
Now you know why we go up north a lot of times and try to hunt. But we hunt a lot around here too. But we try to go up north.
Yeah, every night.
Well, Hudson, tell them about your experience. Was that last year or 2 years ago?
I think it was 2 years ago. Me and Luke was walking around this cornfield, and I said, "There's eyes in that tree." I said, "Give me the gun, I'm gonna shoot it." He said, "No, that's a hoot owl. I like hoot owls. They make turkeys gobble. So I don't care. Give me the gun." We got about 20 yards of it and just stood up, and it was a big mountain lion. I said, "See, if you gave me the gun, we could have killed it."
It was sitting in the tree waiting on as they're walking out, but it was in the road bed where they wasn't. It was out in a limb over top of the road bed where they were at, walking out of the woods.
Thank God for Luke, or we'd all be in jail right now.
We would.
For one, he's trying to kill a hoot owl. Now he's trying to kill a mountain lion. At least Luke was being responsible and said, "You ain't getting the gun, boy."
I had a male dog called Willie, and a place I deer hunt up there. I was up there hunting one night. And that, now, Willie was a cut him loose. He's a good pleasure dog. Get gone, get treed. A big mouth dog, half brother to the rib dog, I think it is. And we got up in there, and he wouldn't hunt tonight, man. Wouldn't hunt a lick. I was a mile off the truck. I called my dad, and my dad said, something wrong, son. He said, get the dog, get out of there. I said, I'm trying to make the dog go. I couldn't make him go. He'd go 50 yards and stand and look at him and turn back to me and look in front of him and stand and look. Something's wrong. So I put him on a leash, come to the truck. And dad called back. He said, do you got a truck? Yes. No, I'm on one. I said, something's fogged. And I turned around. I couldn't see nothing. He's got a gun. And I said, I got a pistol on me. I got it in my hand. When I got to the truck and loaded the dog in the dog box, I seen it. A big brown cat cross the road right in front of me. Had about a 6-foot tail. And that thing, when we got the roof, stopped, looked at me. And then went on cross around. That thing followed me over a mile. And it would stay right behind me. When I stopped, you'd hear it and stop. Take a few steps and stop. It's cold at night. And that thing followed me pulling out of the woods. We're starting to get a few cats right here now. I don't like them. Don't like them at all.
No, I'm not a fan of the big cats.
Or the bears. The
no, they'll bite a hole through your dog.
That was last year. We had those dogs, and Hudson hunts there all the time. And they run that thing, whatever it was, they ran it and treated it 3 or 4 times. And this has been in the past 2 years.
Yeah,
it was year 4 last when that was. And that one female I had, we finally got her back. When she got to us, at the base of right where her tail touches her body, she had a hole in the bottom of it as big as your pinky finger. I mean, it was just a solid hole. I mean, it was because we could see blood coming out. We picked her tail up, and it was just this massive hole in it. And when we finally got the other dog back, her leg was ripped open on the front leg. We had to go get her stitched up. I mean, so that was – we don't know what it was, but we're going to assume that was a big cat because I've never seen one get – I've never seen one with a – it looked like the size of a tooth, the size of your pinky finger in the one, and the other one was ripped up pretty bad.
It wasn't a hog because of climbing the tree.
Dude, what, Stacy?
It wasn't a hog.
No, it wasn't a hog because they were treeing it too good.
But I heard a hog, and then they was climbing up a tree. I'm like, was a hog climbing up a tree? What are you talking about here?
You'll probably seen. Yeah, I've seen it happen before.
Yeah, I've said that a thousand times.
Now, talking about a hog, me and Jason did that. I was little. Same old plot dogs hunting a big cornfield at night, and the dogs got in the middle of a growed up thicket tree. Was going to them, and they wasn't no trees in this field. It's very little small trees. We got almost them dog. And I run by Jason. I was young. I said, I'm going to get in first, see what it is. When I turned that corner, the hog looking right at me.
I forgot about that.
Jason, oh, man. That's the first hog I ever baited in the woods. That was when I was little then. I was young.
Yeah, he ran in, and he ran back out about as fast as he went in. It's pigs. And there was pigs going everywhere. We was right in the middle of them.
They could have them, buddy.
There was pigs running all over that farm. It scared us to death.
We got a lot of hogs.
Yeah, we're covered up with hogs now. Yeah. I was coming down y'all's road last weekend, and there was 15 in the middle of the road.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, the girls was out here. It's been, what, Hudson, 2 or 3 years ago? They were smaller. I mean, the girls weren't that big then, and they've got that little house in the backyard, and they were going to have a sleepover, and something they kept hearing, something rattling around and hitting the back of the building, and one of them got scared to death, was ready to
call the law.
They was ready to call the law, dial 911, and it was a whole herd of pigs in my backyard, and they were all going around that building rooting around, scared those girls to death. But that's
why they don't stay in the house anymore.
Yeah, yeah, they don't want to stay out there in the house. That was a waste of time and money, but but I don't blame them. They weren't going to stay out there with those pigs. What about you, Hudson? What else has happened to you? There was a ghost story. What happened on that one?
There was one night, me and Luke was hunting again, and we was going to the dog's tree. And I said, there was a light in the middle of the woods. I said, there's no houses around here. And we was looking, and it started moving. I said, it must be a ghost or something. And we started praying, and we looked back up, and it was gone.
This is out of the nowhere. So it's time to pray and get some stuff right.
Sleep me down a little hard, didn't
you? I don't know what that is out there, but I know we better get our hearts right now. So it may not be coming out of here. We said you looked up, he said it's gone.
was out of there.
I probably should have kept my eyes open, but I didn't.
Just close them and start praying.
Well, be honest, did you and Luke hold hands or you just praying?
No. But we thought about it.
What about now? What about your ghost story?
Oh, out in Oklahoma?
Yeah, you swore up and down that really happened. I've heard some other people say
it. Yeah, no, I'm not the one to believe in ghosts. I mean, I'm not. But this, I do believe deep down was a ghost. And Johnny's going to sit here and shake his head no. But at the time,
I think it's a little boy's imagination running away.
Well, just let's listen to the story. They ain't just little boys or whatever he's saying, believing this. So we was out in Oklahoma for the BBCHA Fall Roundup. And we spent the second night. And the second
first
night we
and second night.
Yeah, the first and second night, I guess you'd say. And we got in, it was late, two or three o'clock from the hunt, and I was staying in the living room on like a cot, and Johnny was in the downstairs bedroom, and I was laying there, and I woke up about 5:30, and I just heard somebody go outside. I heard the door open. And I didn't think nothing about it. I thought Johnny was checking the dogs or something. So I just went back asleep. And I woke up, didn't think nothing about it. And we went to the hunt that day. And Phil Davis, he was, we started talking about that. He said, where are y'all staying at down there? It was like, oh, we're staying in Dennis Elderbrader's farmhouse. He said, did you know that place is haunted? And he's dead. And he is dead serious. I mean, he's not joking around. He's looking at you in the eyes, said, that place is haunted. I'm like, no. Don't even start because I'm recapping in my mind of, like, last night. I got to asking Johnny, I said, did you get up last night after we got in from hunting to check on the dogs or anything? He said, no. He said, once I went to sleep, he said, I was asleep for the rest of the night. I was like, no. I said, don't tell me that. I was like, did you get up and did you check on the dogs? He said, no. And we're the only two in this house.
Yeah, that's true. We're the only
My question is who opened that door and who walked outside at 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, well.
And another thing was when we got – that night, we got in at second night. This is dark. We already been told this place is haunted. And key word here, I'm getting recapped right here. We never did step foot upstairs. No. We stayed downstairs. You know, there's a little kitchen, bathroom, everything downstairs. We stayed downstairs. And nobody lives in this house. And we got in at 2 or 3 o'clock, and the upstairs light is on. And we keep these doors locked during the day. We have a key. We keep them locked. The upstairs light is on. I'm debating on not even walking in that house, but that place almost, is haunted.
I believe I was sleeping in the truck. Well, Phil, we didn't know nothing about it. And Phil told us, he said he was upstairs in a bedroom one night laying down. He said he'd seen something go around the bed.
This is years previous.
Yeah, years previous. He said he'd seen something come in the room, went down the foot of the bed. Went around the foot of the bed. He said, I didn't turn over to see if it was in a bed with me or not. He said, I think he got in a bed with me.
And you know what was funny? Now I'm thinking about it. You know, Phil stayed with us that one night. He wouldn't go upstairs.
No, he slept in the floor of the couch.
He stayed downstairs with me. He said, I'm not going upstairs. I was like, why are you going upstairs? He said, I'm going to stay down here with you. I'm like, all right, no problem. Then I figured it out. He sent a ghost upstairs.
Yeah, he said he didn't know if he got in a bed with him or not. He didn't turn
I'm
over
there believing in ghosts, but there was something fishy about that
something
house.
You didn't want no part of.
I won't be able to go to bed tonight.
All right, so I've got a story I want to hear. Johnny, tell us about back in at that same place where I had the coyotes followed us out of the woods and scared us to death. Tell us about your encounter with Mr. Greenpants down there that time.
Oh, phew.
That's back when you was wild and young.
Wild and young. Yeah.
He just throwed you under the bush right there.
We're going to also throw that disclaimer. Definitely. Most of these stories happened 25+ years ago. So we've all settled down a whole lot since then.
Yeah, I was going to Coon Hunting. And like Jason said, well, this farm we had down there, we had to drive a mile back in the woods. And a buddy of mine was hunting plot dogs at the time. And I was hunting on Thunder, and he had a little young female. And we was going to go in there at night and kill her coon. And she was a puppy, and we was going to kill her coon, help her get the string good.
And mind you, coon season did not open in July back
what
then.
What time of year was this, Johnny?
End of June, first of July. End of June, first of July.
And Johnny borrowed a gun.
Yeah. This gun was borrowed.
Key piece borrowed. Of information.
Yeah. Borrowed truck, borrowed gun, borrowed everything.
No, I own the truck.
Now, here, wait a minute. You got to put it in perspective. The reason this all happened, there was reasons that they wanted to meet up with Johnny. Johnny was going to other farms, and he would have guns in bags. He hid under rocks. He was dedicated to his sport at the time.
Well, I was.
And I've got one of the guns now.
Yes. Yeah. We actually, one of them has been salvaged.
It's the Holy Grail of Lemhane Kennels. Yeah. It's the last gun that survived Johnny's game warden experience.
Hey. But you got to also remember, this game warden had told him face to face numerous times, "I will catch you." I will catch you.
Old Thunder's lead broke. He didn't have to have no lead. I always left a lead on him. But I could talk to him. And it's one farm that they're talking about. I lived probably a mile and a half away from it. And at the time, it didn't make no difference to me. I was in good shape. I was 20 years old, and I was in good shape. I'd just drop a lead on Thunder and tell him to go home. And when I got there, he'd be on the porch waiting on me. So when he got after me, I just dropped the lead and told him to go home, and he'd be there waiting on me. Well, I drove back in this farm about a mile.
He even had the dog game board broke.
Oh, yeah. That was all.
I got to say, his game board and Thunder's gone.
He went home, got on the porch. But I drove back in a mile back in the woods, and my buddy of mine was with me. And like I said, borrowed gun, and we walked back there and tried to come. And I found it, and I rolled it out. Now, listen, I'd walked all night long without a light on. My light never come on till I shined that tree.
Johnny steps out of the truck. He's like, Bravo 6, going dark.
I never turned the light on except to shine that tree. I walked through the woods all night that night, pitch black. And, my buddy, Matt, he was in front of me. Probably 400 or 500 yards. Well, I had these cigarette cases everybody used to carry. They had them little snaps on them. That's what I had my .22 rifle bullets in. I'd slide them in my back pocket. And I was walking out there, and Matt squalled like a panther. I looked, and I seen a reflection. I thought, uh-oh, I know who that is. I said, I know who that is.
I could imagine now. It's like a... Y'all seen them sniper movies and stuff. It's at the little glare on their scope miles away, and they know what it is. That's what Johnny's seen, just a little glare, and Johnny knew exactly what it was.
I know what it was because he wore glasses, and they had gold rims around them. But anyway, I seen that reflection. I reached down my back pocket and eased them shells out and dropped them down beside the road. Now here's the funny thing. I was in the middle of the woods, but that was a cleared out spot there, probably a 75-yard circle. I had one tree in it. One tree in the middle of the 75-yard circle. So I eased them 22 rifle shells out of my pocket, and I'd drop them down on the ground. Nobody's ever the wiser. I grab that gun, I give it a sling, and I'm going to sling it over the mountainside. Bang! That one tree that's in the middle of that 75-yard circle gets a nylon 66 wrapped around it.
Anybody knows nylon 66 are plastic.
Yeah. They're plastic. It's loud.
And he come running busted. Down there. He come running down there, and he said, "What'd you throw?" I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "You throw something." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Well, he went down there and found it. He said, "I don't guess you'll be buying this back, will you?" And I said, "I don't know what you're talking about."
This is like them cop shows and they throw the drugs, you know, the side of the road. He's like, "Man, that ain't mine. I don't know what you're talking about."
I don't know.
Just throw the .22 rifle.
Yeah, hey. But I will say this. That was a time that I wasn't doing things that I wasn't supposed to be doing.
What was the penalty? What was the penalty? Did he cuff you that night?
No. He just wrote me 2 tickets.
He probably was afraid to cuff you.
Well, no. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I mean, something like that.
He didn't say he's a law-abiding citizen. Here he is.
Well, he'll say, "I respect the law."
He respected the law.
He got beat that night. So
I got caught fair and square, and there wasn't no use in fighting it or carrying on about it. But anyway, I got caught, and he got me a ticket for hunting out of season with a firearm. He gave me a ticket for not having any hunting licenses. So I had to, roughly $500 worth of tickets, and I lost my license for a year. Well, not only did I lose my license for a year, I lost my competition hunting for a year.
My question is, how did they do that?
Well, he asked the judge.
Like,
he said this boy loves the competition hunt. That's what he wants to do. He said so. He asked the judge for that, and the judge granted it. And he looked at me right square in the face, and he said, "Mr. Cooper," he said, if you come before me again before you can buy a license again," he said, "I'll give you 11 months and 29 days." Because in UKC at the time, all you had to have was that scorecard. That was your license. That's all you had to have. You didn't have to have no hunting license. But the game warden specifically asked for those to be revoked on me. And the judge looked at me and he said, "You get 11 months and 29 days." So needless to say, the dog got sold and went down the road. But on a brighter side, I met my wife a month and a half or 2 months later. And another story about that goes along with that. I was out doing stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing. And the Sunday school teacher at the church that I went to at that time, that Sunday night that this happened, the Sunday night before that, he looked me right square in the eyes and he said, "Do you know you're laying out of church and doing all this stuff that he'll take the thing that you love the most away from you?" And I don't mind to know what he's talking about. The next weekend, I lost my my hunt license, my dog. But like I said, there was a silver lining in the rainbow. I met my wife about 2 months out of that, and she's awful good to me. I'll say that. Let me go and do what I do.
And got a good relationship with that game warden. He's a great friend. He's a good guy. We get along great with him now. But
we need to get him on the podcast.
Yo, it would.
We need to get him on
here. He would back that story up. He'd been out of me for a long time.
We won't be able to tell half the stories that we're telling, but we still need to get him on here.
Yeah, that one was legit. He was like, "I will get you." That was the funny thing.
And another thing that I asked him at that time, because I knowed he didn't walk back in. Because the way the land laid out, I could see every road. The main highways and all the roads, I could see everything from where I was.
Johnny
at.
Had this down to a T.
Yeah, I could. Oh, if he
Johnny
come
was
in,
a professional.
If he come in.
He sits at the house and studies the maps and everything.
He, at that time, he literally kept guns at different places under rocks in bags.
He goes coon hunting. All his buddies are like, "Where's the guns?" He's like, "Don't worry about it. Dog trees." And I grab that gun from under that log over there.
You see this pen right here? We go get it right there. But now that one that Hudson's talking about, it's a little Remington bolt action. It's camouflage.
Did you
still
have to
grind
the serial numbers off?
No. It's got the serial numbers, but the barrel has been cut off. The barrel is just like 17 inches long, and it is spray-painted camouflage. Still yet, right now.
Was there a reason it was spray-painted camouflage?
Yeah. So I put it in. Well, at the time, I'd leave it laying in the woods, but now I got a little bit more professional. I'd wrap it up in a garbage bag and stick it under a rock where I know there wouldn't water get to it, but it's still preserved. It's still shoots very well.
Now we're going back. Stacy, he'll confirm that we were actually talking about it the other night. But this is 25 years ago. One of those guns is still in the woods somewhere. There's going to be a mass
after everybody hears this. Everybody hears this podcast.
There's going to be something going on one of these days. There's going to be a homicide and something's going to happen. And then this gun that's been missing for 30 years is going to come out of the blue.
And they're going to blame it on that gun, and it's actually Johnny's illegal coon killing.
Well, I just hope it's registered to somebody else.
do we need to take another break?
Yeah, let's take another quick short break, and we'll hop back into these some of these stories.
Coon Hunting Media is proudly sponsored by Little T Squatters. Them are the words every competition hunter loves to hear. Your winning coon has just been found. Little T Squatters, owned and designed by Tim Tempton, has set the bar for high quality, dependable, and unmatched performance. From pleasure hunters to extreme competitors, He covers it all with his five elite models. Original Little T, the Triple Threat, the Double Shot, the Pro Series, and the newly designed Bell Ringer. If you want to enter the woods with confidence, contact his office at 423-562-5333 and become elite.
In addition to our official sponsors, we would also like to thank the following sponsors. Secret City Kennels. The kennel is owned by Mr. Mark Gettner and Mr. Wendell Jones. At Secret City Kennels, they support the English Coonhound breed. They have English Coonhounds for sale from time to time. Contact Mark or Wendell for all your English needs. They are available for your English Coonhound advice and are happy to answer your questions. These guys have done their fair share of winning in the comp events, including wins at the PKC Labor Day Classic, fifth place overall in the UKC World Hunt, ninth place in the AKC World Hunt, English Days, Winter Classics, and the list goes on and on. Mark is the current PKC English Coonhound President. Give either of these guys a call. They will be glad to talk with you. Their numbers are Mark at 931-787-2784 or Wendell at 865-748-7795. They are located in Kingston, Tennessee and Coalfield, Tennessee.
Saddle Up Canine Cryo is owned by Mr. Bill Scheninger. Bill is located in Delta, Ohio. Don't miss out on the opportunity to keep that special stud dog forever. His services include semen collection, freezing, side-by-side shipping, and semen storage. Bill is also the owner of one of the best-known plot kennels in the country, Saddle Up Plots. Saddle Up Plots is home to UKC, PKC, AKC, WTDA, Grand Knight Champion, PR Saddle Up Lazarus. Lazarus accomplished the following accolades in 2021. He was UKC World Champ Plot, Plot Days Isaiah Kid Winner, Purina Breed Winner, Autumn Oaks Breed Champion, APA Breed Days Winner. Fresh chilled and frozen semen is available. Contact Bill directly for all pricing and services information for Canine Cryo and Saddle Up Plots. Bill's phone number is 419-467-7689. Saddle Up Plots, making plots rise again.
All right, everyone, we're back and sitting here having some conversations during the quick break, and Hudson made at a good point. There's more to this story, the game warden story.
Johnny left out the best part. He needs to tell you.
Come on, Johnny.
I'd forgotten about some of this.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I met my wife during this time, and I told you how good a woman she was. I went to a hospital and seen her. I think her uncle was in the hospital at the time. And I had an 88 Ford Ranger, four-wheel drive, and I had a taillight out. So I go by the Ford garage, and there's a cop sitting there, and he pulls me over for my taillight being out and walks up to me and pulls my driver's license and checks all of them and comes back to me, and he's real nice. He said, I got a capias on you. I said, a capias? I didn't know what it was. He said, a capias. I said, what's that? I don't know what that is. And he said,
modern terms, warrant.
Yeah, he's got a capias to hold me, to take me to jail, to put me in front of a judge on Monday morning. And this is a Friday night. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, something about coon hunting out of season with a gun.
This is a police officer.
So, man, a little bit of time's passed here.
Oh, yeah. It's been 2 years. And he said,
you're married by now.
Oh, yeah. I've been married for 6 weeks. And I called my wife. And I said, I'm going to jail.
I can see Johnny right now saying, she says hello. He says, I'm going to jail.
Yeah, be literally.
Like, you, what do you mean?
You remember that story when I lost my hunting license for a year?
Yeah, before we even started talking.
Well,
yeah.
Apparently I didn't pay $20.
Yeah, that's what it was, too, $20. I owed $20 on one of them fines. And he said, I got to take you to jail. And I said, like, what? I said, I'll just pay you the $20 now. And he said, no, I can't do that. And I said, well, why in the world not? And he said, well, the judge got to see you. So I went to jail for $20.
This time, did he cuff you?
No, he didn't cuff me. He let me park my truck and call somebody to come and get it. He was, like I said, the cop was nice, very nice. And I sat in the front seat and rode with him to jailhouse.
Sat in the front seat. Hey, buddy, what you been doing?
But they wouldn't let me. And my wife's cousin at the time was a detective in Overton County. And he tried to get them to release me to him and guaranteed that I would show up. They wouldn't release me. But anyway, I told you how good a woman I had. So we've been married 6 weeks and I call her and tell her I'm going to jail and explain why. And then, let me tell you, Putnam County Jail will not feed you.
Why is that?
Huh? I walked in there and you know, all them, regular criminals.
They
got all
regulars.
That, yeah, they got all that commissary and all that stuff. They got them cups of noodles and all that good stuff they can buy. When you go in on weekends, you don't get none of that. Breakfast was 2 hard-boiled eggs, 1 piece of toast, and a sausage link.
That's all, man. They used to stay alive.
Yeah, I was a big old boy, about 230. And that's what they had that for breakfast. You didn't get no lunch. And at, I think, supper that night, I had five or six chicken nuggets and 7 or 8 tater tots. And I was starving to death. Needless to say, my wife came and paid my fine and the other $230 they give me for my rental of my shoes and all that stuff. The first stop was to the gas station, get a can of snuff. The second stop was Shoney's all-you-can-eat breakfast bar.
See, he's and talking I about all this food. He was hungry and stuff, and what the first stop? He had to get a can of snuff.
Yeah. How was it for them days without snuff?
Tell us the full story, though. They're missing some details out about some inmates in there.
Oh, well, they put me in there with this little old feller, little old worry feller. I don't know.
He looked like me?
Yeah, about like you. Maybe a little bit bigger. About 6 foot tall, about 150 probably. And he had the air conditioner cut off. They put me in a cell with this guy, and he's got the air conditioner vent plugged off. And I'm laying in there, and I'm sweating. I mean, I'm boiling, sweating. And I reach up and jerk this air conditioner lid down. And he comes out of the top bunk. And he said, I was here first. And I said, you'd be here when I leave, too, if you behave. I said, if you don't, you're going in that stainless steel commode.
If you behave.
Yeah, if he behaves. I mean it. I mean every word of it. I was in a bad mood.
He said, you behave, little boy.
I said, if you behave, you will. You'll be here when I leave. If you don't, you'll be inside that stainless steel commode. And I meant every word of it.
Hey, Johnny's a he's settled down good man now, but it is not hunt related. But tell your summer school story that's kind of on the side. You had a lot of stuff went on back in the day. You was in a lot of stuff.
I heard this one.
Oh, this is one of my favorites. I could hear this one 100 times. So.
It's a good one.
Yeah, so Johnny.
Trouble followed me.
This same, you got to remember, this is that same Johnny that I said that time went back there and just picked the truck up and told us to get the wheels out from under.
This ain't going to be a story episode. This is going to be this Johnny. This is just a Johnny
the past
episode.
Recollections of Johnny. Oh, he had to go to summer school one
summer
time.
School.
This is a good one. So tell that summer school story.
Well, I got to go to summer school because I would lay out and go deer hunting in the mornings. I wouldn't show up till about 11 o'clock. Well, guess what was subject was taught early in the mornings? English. So I took 10th, 11th, and 12th grade English my senior year in high school. I'd take all three of them because English was first of the morning, and I always laid out and went deer hunting during deer season. But anyway, I was sitting in summer school, and this guy was talking to this girl pretty rudely. And I told him,
we'll have to watch how you word this.
pretty rudely. And I said, now you just need to hush and leave her alone. She ain't interested. So I want to talk to you. And he proceeded to tell me who he was, and he was this star running back, and he was this, and he was that, and I said, I don't
care. You see Johnny sitting there just looking at him with a blunt face.
I told him, I said, I don't care who you are. It don't make no difference to me. This girl is not interested in you. Now, you need to quit talking to her. You talk to her the right way. You quit telling her all this stuff. And he proceeded to tell me again who he was. I said, I don't care. So I turned back around, and he turned around and proceeded to do the same thing again. Well, the next thing that he got was the side binder of that English book. You know, not the flat part where you could open it up and read it. He got the binder.
As hard as Johnny could put it.
One of the thick books.
Yeah, one of about, 3 inches thick. I took his bottom of his nose and the top three teeth plumb out with it. The first thing to hit was the back of his head.
Flipped him out of his seat, busted his nose, broke his nose, knocked his teeth out of his head.
Well, the girl done told him 3 or 4 times she didn't want to hear him. So I just made sure that he got the message.
It didn't help with that. You didn't want to be there to begin with.
No, I didn't want to be there. And then
So Johnny's feud was done lit, and at that moment, he didn't have a real long feud.
Well, he was very disrespectful to this young lady. And it was, you don't talk to women the way that this boy was talking to the women. I can't handle it.
So he ate a binder for breakfast.
Yes. Yeah, I'd say he didn't
and
eat
teeth.
he ate his teeth, yes.
I'd say he didn't eat nothing for a while. It was solid.
Johnny didn't like school too well. I remember when we was in, was we seniors? Or, you know, it was junior. Juniors is, time's getting away. Juniors when you have to go take all your ACTs, get ready for college. Johnny could care less. He was not going to school. And then the rest of us was. So we was worried about it.
I don't care about school either. I get Johnny's point.
So we all go to Tech to take our test. And there's like, what, 6, 7, 8 of us all went. All of our friends, we go down there together. Johnny, for some reason, because of all of his laying out, they made him, I remember the counselor, made him go take it. We're all in here cramming because we got to get the scores because we're going to college. Johnny could care less. We would get started on tests, and I swear to you, not 20 or 30 minutes would be going by. I mean, they were all-time tests. You'd have 20 minutes left. You'd look back in the back of the room, and Johnny was asleep on every one of them. This went on all day. Mm-hmm. We got our scores back. You want to know who the highest scoring person was in our whole class?
Johnny Cooper.
It was Johnny Cooper. We would be sitting back there taking our test, and all of a sudden, Johnny's got a certain way he flips a snuff can. You guys all heard it.
Yeah, we've heard
so
it.
So imagine sitting in one of those big halls, lecture halls at Tennessee Tech, quiet as a mouse, and all you can hear back here in the back is that big thump, 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 him flipping that snuff can. He'd get him a dip of snuff, and he'd go to sleep. And he scored higher than every single one of us. I mean, we were so mad at him for
pure luck.
I don't know. It was had to it been. Was hilarious.
Did you even read a question?
It was all skill. I'll tell you one better than that. And I'm tell off. I shouldn't tell this on myself, but I'm going to anyway. I was we had a English teacher that was from Greece, and she was it was senior English. And like I said, I had sophomore, junior, and senior English all my senior year in high school. Well, I went to sleep in class, and she woke me up, and she was all about Shakespeare. I mean, that was her thing. She was all about Shakespeare. She woke me up, and she said, Johnny, she said, wherefore art thou book? And I said, I ain't got it. Now, this is the English.
He said it just like that.
This is an English teacher now. And she said, what'd you say? I said, I ain't got it. I said, let me tell you one better than that. She said, okay. I said, for thou'st cannot find. Needless to say, she didn't like that either. But you know what? I passed that test. I passed all three of them and got that little piece of paper. But now that you talking about a class eruption, and when I said for thou'st cannot find, the wind is bulged out on the building.
Oh, Stacey, oh, you got any good stories like that?
No.
Yeah, you got to have something.
No. No, oh. I don't like it.
Johnny's pointing at Jason over here. Come on. No, we don't come
do
on.
That. I don't know the story.
Yeah, you do.
You're going to have to jog my memory.
He's drawing.
I'm not something. Getting it. I don't know.
$100 bill?
I'm lost. I'm totally lost.
Oh, yeah, you know you ain't.
Oh, Stacy.
Is it a Stacy
story or a me story?
To the exact same teacher.
Huh?
I done the exact same thing to the exact same teacher.
Oh, it's well, went too far now. It's got to be told.
I don't remember.
The same English teacher. Hold our bill.
Oh, you're talking. Oh, well, yeah, that one. That I know what he's talking about. Yeah, our school almost made the national news and everything. We had one of our school dances, and that same teacher was involved in a strip, spin the bottle, and money going around game in the front double glass doors of the school with a whole. I was not in that game. I will say that for certain. I was not involved in that game, but that is, there were several things that went on with that in that time frame. But yeah, that happened. But they had strip spin the bottle that the teacher orchestrated.
The teacher orchestrated.
Yeah. Yeah, they were the main one that had that going down. So yeah, that was an interesting time.
Welcome to Monroe, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been long. That's been 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Stacy, was you involved? Don't lie.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't on the event.
Oh.
But I had the same teachers. I done the same thing Jason did here.
Oh, we're going to have to get back to hunting stories. We're going to get off on stuff that we can't be telling.
We're all
grown
Johnny.
Men, and those are way, way past.
What are you laughing about over there?
What other stories we got? What else can we talk about before we're going to run out of time here in a few minutes?
Yeah, and get ourselves incarcerated.
Johnny knows what that's
Johnny
all about.
Knows what that is.
Yeah, it's not fun. I told myself, I said, self, this is the first and the last, and it has been. It's never happened again.
Well, you about got it in automobiles.
That was not of my fault.
I would have gave anything for Johnny to get arrested. No. That night at Autumn Oaks when them dogs are barking.
Oh, that would have been something else.
That'd been amazing. That'd been funny.
I'll tell, I know we're getting probably close on time now. I'll tell one of my favorite hunting stories of all time. It's etched in my brain until I die. So we do like all other kinds of hunt. We coon hunt, we deer hunt, we turkey hunt, squirrel hunt. Turkey hunting has always been one of our passions. Hudson likes it. And he's really good at it, but he was not always good at it.
I never could hit one.
No, I don't know. I've promised you, I've had state records in front of me before that I would just sit there and just beg him, and we couldn't shoot him.
And they'd be 20 yards from me too.
Yeah, they'd be right in him. So it was a little bit against the law. We were doing something we probably shouldn't have done. We called this bird in and killed it legitimately, but we just wasn't supposed to be there. But now I'm going to say that because we had tried to do it the right way for like 4 years. I mean, we started turkey hunting when he was little. And me and some of my buddies, we decided one day he was going to get a turkey. So we had drove around and we saw, it was right up from this lease we had. So we had permission to hunt right up from this. Well, the turkeys was over on this other property. So my buddies decided, well, what we're going to do is we're going to drive down the road. We're going to set you boys out. You know, go over there, and then we'll wait on you up the road. And when you come out, we'll pick you up. Now,
classic move.
Yeah,
because this is a classic move.
We shouldn't have done it. I'll say that. I know we shouldn't have done it. Now, Hudson's little. How old were you, Hud?
Probably 8, if that.
Yeah, he's little. I mean, he was a little bitty thing. So we went across the field, and there was a creek that run, but so it's a big, pretty field, and a creek went between it that was all wooded, and there's another big field on the other side of the creek. Now, this is right down the road from where we're allowed to hunt. So that's the only thing I'll say, that only thing we did wrong in here. And I feel bad about it, but Hudson did kill his first turkey that day. So we go over there and we set up. We called them birds right in. He killed this little old Jake. I knew we weren't supposed to be there. And my buddies was setting up on the side of the road, and one of them needed to use the bathroom. And he said, I barely had walked up the hill. And he said, I heard that gun go off. And I was like, uh-oh, here they come. And they all said the same thing. They said, they'll never forget this. Here I come out of that creek bed with this turkey running as hard as I can to the truck, because they posted signs everywhere. And they said they'll never forget it. Here comes Hudson just swaggering, walking about one step a minute just across that field. And what was it?
But at the time, I was real fat. I couldn't get around too good.
I wasn't going to say that. But he just comes swaggering up through there. And every one of us, they're like, here we are trying to get out. Hudson's acting like he owns the place.
Everybody's screaming, run.
And it's 100 yards across that field, and he don't get no hurry at all.
And I went out of breath, and Dad was, and guess what? We didn't get caught, so he should have walked across the field real slow like I did.
He's got a good point, but I will remember that hunt till the day I die. We laugh about that one all the time. It's like, goodness, man, you can't do that.
Don't feel bad, Hudson. I couldn't shoot a bow either same way.
He's shooting a shotgun, Stacey. He's not a bow.
Yeah, but if you know how many arrows I lost bow hunting, you don't understand that.
I can't shoot a bow too good either. We had a bunch of hogs come to the house when I was probably 8 or 9, and Dad go with me, and he'd be up above me, and about 20 hogs came into a mud hole. He said, shoot one. And I draw back and shot and missed, and Dad said, I'm going to shoot one. I said, okay. And he shot one and hit first shot.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, it has nothing to do with coon hunting, but I'll also remember one, because Hudson and Stacy's a lot alike when it comes to shooting, and we had this farm.
I'm good with a gun now.
Oh my God, this was a deer hunting heaven back in the day, and we could go down. It didn't matter what time of day you was in there, you was gonna see deer, and we went down there one. I think it was a Sunday evening, wasn't it, Stacy?
Yep.
And we went down there and we put Stacy in the best spot. He climbed the tree, got up in it, and we went on to check a few other spots out. We come back around, and he's sitting on the ground down there at the base of the tree. And we're like, you seen any deer? Yeah, I've seen deer all afternoon. We get to looking. He don't have an arrow in his quiver. I mean, not one. We had to walk around that hill. So we was pulling arrows out of trees, out of stumps. He had shot every arrow he had with him that day and never touched anything.
And throw my release one.
He got mad. He got all mad, just threw his release down.
Classic Stacy move.
I couldn't shoot a bow. I tried hard.
So they got to be stories besides us. They can't be sitting here just grilling me and Stacy and Johnny situations. So what's some other things that's happened to you, Kyle and Hudson? We know some stuff that's happened to Kyle. We could talk about.
I talk about him getting body slammed.
Yeah, so
yeah, let's go that one real quick. And what was it, in Illinois?
It was in Illinois.
Pleasure hunting.
Illinois.
And Rip went in there, about 975. He treated coon, and Jason had a pup. He's wanting to just get a coon on, just let him make a little drag, let him smell what a coon was. And we shot Rip's coon out. And I said, well, I'll just walk Rip up this hill. And I said, I'll sit up here and wait for y'all while y'all do y'all's deal down there with the puppy. And well, I didn't really know that I was going to shoot. And kind of act like a little scenario for the puppy. Well, they make a little drag and hang his cone up, and his pup's training it. And I'm just sitting up there, Rip, you know. And next thing I hear is kapow. And well, Rip thinks there's another coon rolling out of the tree. He caught me off balance, and he's heading off towards. And this is hilly part of Illinois, and I'm holding on to the lead with both hands.
And you're right in the middle of us.
And I'm on my belly. Fully out on the ground, and he is dragging
plowing dirt
ground leaves. Like I'm getting dragged by a horse.
Why didn't you let go?
That's a good question now, because I mean, he's going to the coon.
Yeah, it would have been
maybe a lot smarter.
That would have been the smartest thing to let go. It was really funny though. Johnny and I looked down there. You are right underneath their feet.
Yeah. Same thing happened to me one time with a goat.
Yes. So everybody knows me knows I've always raised. Registered goats. Now this, I was hard on Hudson. So we was buying and selling expensive goats. I mean, you know, we're selling goats that are $2,000, $3,000, $5,000. We're buying goats like that. So how old was you?
I was probably 10 or 11.
No, you wasn't that big. You're still smaller than that. You had to be. We had been at one of my sales that I'm part of, and I bought a pretty expensive goat. I mean, I spent a lot of money. I mean, this was a $2,000-$3,000 animal that I had purchased, and we got her home that night. Now it's what, 12 o'clock at night, and we're out here in the backyard, and I got her out of the trailer, and I told him, I said, you hold that thing while I'm fixing something to put it in this one pen, and I said, whatever you do, do not let that thing loose, because I mean,
I didn't let go.
And he did not let go. Next thing I know, here Hudson is on his face being drugged, and they started down here at the basement all the way to the top. I caught him in the front yard.
You know what stopped me? I hit the side of the barn, and the barn stopped me.
He was a little bitty kid, and I mean, he did not turn that thing loose, and it was a good 100 yards that it drug him around the yard, and he was flopping like a rag doll.
The cow looked like a turning plow. Y'all met cow, you know, he's got a great old big nose, and it's crooked where it's got broke before. And he looked like a turning plow coming down over that hill. They're getting ready to plant corn up there in Illinois where he come over the hill.
Rip weighs as much as I do, nearly. I mean, he does.
You remember the time I used a shotgun call on the horse, Dad, over at Jason? A little.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to get into all these stories. So I can picture this happening still. Now you're going back to when we were kids. Shocking collars that just came out. We always had horses, and we had a couple horses that did not want you to catch them out in the pasture. So Dad had the idea that we'd take and tie a rope on that shocking collar. We could fit it around them horse's neck, and we had a dry lot. It was probably about an acre, and he would turn them horses loose in there, and Dad would get out there with that shocking collar. And if they wouldn't stop, he'd start shocking them, and he'd scold them, and them horses would stop. He'd break them to catch them in a 100-acre field when he got done with them. And we was out there one day. We didn't know what happened. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and we was out at my Uncle Goodman's house. And we had been working on one of these horses that was hard to catch, and Dad was done. And he went out there to take the shocking collar off that horse because he was done broke that horse. That horse was done. And Dad reaches up there and starts doing that, and all of a sudden – that horse rears up as hard as it can, traps his arm in it, and Dad's hanging in the air like a rag doll, and the horse was just hitting him as hard as it could. And we're like, what's happened? We looked around, and there stands Stacy pushing that button. he would have killed him. We had to take it away. He didn't know. He was just over pushing that button, and that horse was beating Dad to death.
What was that, 8-year-old then?
You was about eight. Yeah, you was little. Yeah.
Stacy's letting him ride the lightning.
Yeah, that was Stacy did a lot of stuff like that. I could get into some other stories that I'm going to tell another one on him. Ain't got nothing to do with hunting. We had a family reunion. We was all out one of my mom's aunt's house, and there was probably 100 people out there. It didn't matter where you was at or what you was doing. If there was mischief going on, guess who was in it?
Stacy
was in it always. She had some house cats. And some of the older cousins out there had put Stacy up to stuffing a house cat in a quart jar full of water head first. And guess what he did? He comes around the house. And they come around the house and catch him out there. And there he is. He's got that cat stuffed in the quart jar. Oh, my gosh.
Did the cat at least survive?
It survived. We got it out quick because my mama's aunt was going to kill him over that. But, yeah, Stacy's always been into some serious trouble. Then there was the one time that they was at my pa's house. You remember you getting down there in the mud hole with them same cousins, and you guys were trying to drown that one cat in that mud hole?
I learned my lesson that no pound come out of the house with a broom.
These cats had a rough life.
Everything had a rough life around Stacy. We could go on for days with some of the stuff that he did. So
I didn't kill him. I just played that time.
And you got mad.
Oh, I got trouble
because of the chickens.
Oh, I got trouble. Okay,
that was.
Yeah, I had my fire share of whoopings. Let me tell you.
Yeah, Stacy was when he was little was the one at church. If Dad ever got up out of the seat and grabbed him by the back of the head and started out, everybody in the church would just start shaking their heads because they knew it was a bad day for Stacy. He's caused me a lot of trouble too. There was one time when we lived back at home. My grandpa had, well, our grandpa, he had just passed away. And he had chickens over there. So that was one of the things my pa and I had always, he liked his chickens and I liked his chickens. And we lost our grandpa. He had passed. And it was just a few days after it happened. Stacy had went and bought this stupid beagle. And I did not like that dog at all because it killed chickens. And we're talking, what was it, Stacy? A week after Pod died?
Probably.
And I went over there one day, and it was some of my Pa's favorite chickens that he had had. That dog was sitting right there, and he'd have killed one of those chickens. And I wasn't in the right state of mind at that point in time because I just lost my grandpa. Stacy was over at house. Pa and them lived across the road from us. And I said, I will fix that dog right now. I will kill that dog right here. And I grabbed that dog, and I started smacking it in the face with my hand. And I was holding it. I didn't care if it bit me. I didn't care what happened. And I started hitting that dog. And when I hit it, I saw blood go squirting straight up over the top of my head. And I thought, good enough for you. I just kept hitting him. And what I realized had happened, that wasn't the dog. I had ripped my hand open across the whole palm of my hand on this piece of tin. And every time I'd come down, my heart would pump. It would just shoot blood straight up. They didn't think it was going to get me over to the hospital or to the house before I passed out. I had to go get my whole bottom of my hand stitched up. That was
cut the main artery in your heart.
Yeah, no, in my hand. It was just when my heart would beat, it would just shoot blood straight out. And I was like, thought I was going to die.
I thought
I was doing some good of that dog. It was me. It was me. I was mad at Stacy over that one. That was all his fault.
It's my stuff. That's my stuff. Give him that voodoo magic on you there.
Voodoo magic.
That's what. That's right. No better.
We're totally off hunting stories now. Some of that stuff. What we got? Anything else? Or we're gonna wrap this thing up. Save some for later.
We got time for one more, one or two more, don't we? Somebody's got some still in the chamber.
You got any more, Stacy?
Not really. Not that I want to tell on the air.
Not that he wants to tell on the air.
Not that he wants to. Viewer's discretion is advised.
No, it ain't that bad. Don't
ain't that bad.
Just embarrassing.
Well, I'm about storied out for the night.
Me too.
Like we're an hour, almost an hour and a half.
Yeah, I think we're in pretty good shape now.
I need to go check on my kids. 55
minutes of this is on me.
Poor Johnny over here. Throwing him over the bus.
Johnny had several situations on him, so
we'll have to make this a part two and three, maybe four.
Nah.
That's right.
We're going to let the rest of them ride.
Hey, don't feel bad, Johnny. Me and Huston got a few stories like that, too. We almost got some fossil hunts. I got mad one night. He had to calm me down. The judge has stepped in between on that one.
Stacy got a bad temper too when he gets mad.
I'm telling you, one of these days we'll get Stacy and Johnny after it.
I'm waiting for that day.
We're too old to do that now.
Ain't nothing we can do about it. Well, we couldn't break y'all up or nothing. We just have to hopefully both survive.
That's right.
Oh, man. Y'all good?
We're good, man.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
We're going to wrap her up. All right, we appreciate everybody listening to the Coon Hunt Media Podcast. So be sure to tune in on the next one.
Outlaw Light Company, owned by Alan Roberts. Located in 10 Mile, Tennessee. 25 years of light building experience. With the newest addition to their lineup, the Ace Pro. They are constantly striving for the best parts. The Ace Pro has better switches and batteries, and it has the option of double walk light and two additional color modules, main beam and a green laser, or a single walk light with three color modules, main beam and a green laser. All their lights are known for dependability and extreme brightness. Contact Outlaw Lights for their complete light selection. Their direct business number is 423-453-8813. The Ace Pro, the light with a lifetime warranty.
Briar Creek Kennels, feed and hunting supply store, owned by Chris Girth. Located in Hemera, Indiana, Briar Creek carries all your pet supplies and is the headquarters for all your hunting dog gear. Never get caught in the dark. They carry Outlaw Lights, Superior Lights, and their own Briar Creek Light brand. They are an authorized Garmin and Dogtra dealer. They offer hunting apparel by Yoder Nylon, Southside Hunting Gear, Dan's, Razor, and their own Briar Creek branded gear. Dog boxes include Old Dry Pond and Diamond Deluxe. AGM thermals, engraved nameplates, dog collars, and leads are just a few of the many other offerings you can get from Briar Creek. Visit the store in person or shop online at www.shopbriarcreek.com or check them out at the major events. Their direct business number is 812-383-9489. Briar Creek Kennels Feed and Hunting Supply Store.